Adams, Reel 5. Yes, I was asking you, you know, about the importance or otherwise of talking about your experience. You were going to say that your husband, something about your husband.
Yes, my husband was always talking about it. He couldn't sort of put it out of his mind completely. He always reads books about the Holocaust, and he was talking a lot about the Holocaust. I never talked about it to anybody. In fact, my husband's closest friend lives across the road from us, and he was absolutely shocked when he read my catalog, because he didn't know anything about it. And he couldn't understand why I never talked to friends about it. But I wanted to live, really. I realized at one stage that life was just passing me by, that I was living with sorrow and suffering terribly, and not enjoying life. I suddenly realized, I read Omar Khayyam, and I realized that every minute counted, and that time was passing very quickly. And it did, indeed, it passed like a day.
How about your son? Did your son ask you about your past, particularly as your husband was talking about his?
My son did ask me, and my son wanted to know his background. He asked me to go with him to Poland. And I went to Poland 5 years ago. I went with my friends who were from my hometown and my son. We went to Lwów. We flew in an aeroplane, which was a very old Dakota, which was quite a terrifying experience. We landed in Lwów, and we were taken by car. In Drohobycz, there is a friend of my friend who lives in London. His name is Mr. Schreier, and he teaches music in Drohobycz, in the school of Drohobycz, the school where I used to go to. His mother was killed in Drohobycz. He has survived in Auschwitz, and after the war he went back to Drohobycz. And he married a Russian woman, and he lives there, and he looks after the graves. It was he who put cement on the graves in Brunica Wood. And we went there, we looked at the graves. First, we stopped in Lwów, and I went to the concentration camp where my brother was killed. And luckily, we had a Russian journalist whom we met on the way, who showed us the way there, because nobody knew where Janów concentration camp was. He knew where it was. And my son had quite a good education, but he didn't have a good religious education. And he didn't know how to say Kaddish. Kaddish is a prayer for the dead. This gentleman who was this journalist, Russian journalist, he made a very beautiful Kaddish on the side of Janów. He also wanted to tell me things about Janów, and I didn't want to hear, to be quite honest. And then we went to Drohobycz, and we stayed there in a place called Truskawiec, which is a holiday resort. And it was very near to the place where I was born. It was very near to Borisov. And I wanted to find the house where we lived. And before, we had a horse and carriage. With a horse and carriage, you could get to our house in half an hour. But with the car, it was 10 minutes. It never occurred to me. And we were looking and looking, and we couldn't find it. And then I remembered that I had this Polish friend whose name was Lutka Czerwinska. And I went and I asked the peasants about her, and they said she went back to Poland. But they said there is a wife of Dr. Terlecki, and I remembered that she was our doctor. So I went there, and there was a lady who was 80 years old, and she could speak Polish because everybody spoke Ukrainian. Nobody spoke Polish anymore, you see. She could speak Polish, and I asked her where was the state of Bakomol company, and she showed it to me. And the house was made into a, what is it, convalescent home for people with chest, who were sick with chest trouble, because they used to go to in Truskawiec in this holiday resort. People drink waters, and they believe greatly that it has very good, it is very successful in treating all kinds of illnesses. So so I showed my son where we lived, and he has seen the village. And we went to Drohobycz, and we went to my school. And I told you that art teacher who taught me, Bruno Schulz, and I always remembered that we used to climb to the second floor and try to spit on his head because he was getting bald on the top of his head. And I climbed to the second floor, and I was trying to imagine how we were spitting it, and it somehow didn't work out. I am not quite sure from which place we were sitting on his head. Anyway, we went to the school, and in the school, in Israel, they made a statue of Bruno Schulz, and they donated it to the school. So we went to the library, and we have seen the statue. And we met some teachers from the school. And the food was absolutely terrible. You know, the Ukrainian, what was very interesting for me and for my son to see was the oil drilling ships, because my father really started them. And strangely enough, they are still there. That was the only thing that I found, which was there, really, from my father. But they were really prehistoric completely. What they need now is a lot of American money to put... you see, the Ukraine became independent because they felt that the Russians were taking everything away from them. In particular, they knew that they had the oil and they wanted to keep it to themselves. But they didn't have money to develop it. So what I saw were all these oil drilling ships which my father put in. And that gave me great pleasure to see that. Otherwise, I haven't seen one friend. They were completely strange people, and except for this gentleman, this Mr. Schreier, who was older than me. He was not my friend. He was a friend of my friend, and he took us to Brunica, and he showed us these graves, and we had no one who could say Kaddish on those big graves. Because my son couldn't, and my friend from London, he also never learned. So I said the best prayer I could, and when we came back to London, I realized that I never buried my parents. So I went to the synagogue, and I paid them some money, and we made a service in the synagogue for my parents and for my brother.
Do you think the fact that, you know, your own childhood was so disrupted and all you suffered in the Holocaust, do you think it affected the way you brought your son up? That it has affected him in any way?
Well, it affected him in that way that he was an only child. I never wanted any other. I never wanted children altogether. My son was really an accident, the best one that ever happened to me in my life. But Yes, in that respect, it affected me very much, and it affected him, because being an only child, he never had company of other children, and he was very unhappy at home, and I put him into a boarding school. He became boarder, weekly boarder. I don't know how it affected him in other ways. I have no idea. But my son got married, had three children, but unfortunately he's divorced. So, but my grandchildren are growing up very nice. They are very nice young people.
Are they curious about the Holocaust? Are they old enough to
want
to know?
My grandson is 16. My granddaughter came to my exhibition, and she was very pleased and very proud with me. So, I don't know. It's not the kind of a background which I would like to leave to my children, to be quite honest. I must say, I was really, I thought it's very funny, because I became friendly with a Polish lady who is also an artist, and she teaches at the university in Warsaw, and her husband is a director of Polish Lot, and she invited me to dinner, and her husband was telling us that he's trying to trace his ancestry in Poland. And his name is Rodent, and he thinks he has a French ancestry. And when we were in Israel, my son went to the museum there, and my father's name was Goldschlag. And he got from the museum our ancestry, and it said that very early on, the name Goldschlag came into the Jewish history because it meant gold, and from the gold they became goldsmiths. So the family was really connected with being goldsmiths or jewelers. And then they became rabbis, and a very famous rabbi lived in the 18th century, and they gave his name. So I had my ancestry very easily and clearly traced, you see. I would much rather leave such a background to my grandchildren than the background of the Holocaust, to be quite honest.
Did it affect your sense of being Jewish, the fact that you had been so persecuted?
Absolutely, yes. Because I felt extremely Polish when I was a child. And when I was invited now to these Polish artists, they couldn't understand that I could live in England for so many years, and I had no connections with Polish people whatsoever. I have never exhibited in Polish Tosk, nor in any Polish gallery, nor in the Polish Cultural Center. But to be quite honest, I never wanted.
But do you feel, you know, your Jewishness, has that been affected at all?
That's why it was affected, because if you remember in my story, when I was running away and I heard what they were saying, you see, that has affected me terribly. I only wanted to live in one country, and that was Israel. I wanted to live in my country. That God has seen it otherwise, because we had all the papers, but in those days, I would have had to live in tents for 6 months when they were going to Israel. And with my illness, it was absolutely impossible.
But is Israel very important to you?
Absolutely, very important to me. I was told that out of Holocaust suffering, Israel was made. And it is fair enough, it's a wonderful thing that there is a Polish, Jewish state and such a wonderful state as Israel. But if I had a choice of having stayed in Poland and had all my family and all my friends there and my normal life there, I would have much rather chosen that than chosen Israel.
I notice on your paintings that most of them have a little mug with a heart on.
Mm.
Could you explain that to me? It's sort of...
I would say that as much as I have come across such terrible hate and which has caused me so much suffering, I have also come across extremely nice and wonderful people who have opened me up to life, and I have always been extremely grateful to England for having let me live for so many years in peace, and I have not lived in war anymore, and I love people. That means my love to other people.
Well, thank you very much indeed, Alicia, for telling me about your Holocaust experiences today. I know it's been, must be very traumatic to go through them, but thank you very much indeed.
Thank you. Thank you for listening.